once again. This is Cyril Stevens from the Community Church in Christmas Valley. And I would like to continue some thinking around the 10th chapter of the Gospel of John. Now, we have looked and discovered some things about the door that Jesus says, I am the door, by me, if any man enter in, he shall go in and out and find pasture. And then in verse 7, he comes down and says, in the 10th chapter of John, he says, I am the door of the sheep. And it's very interesting to watch a shepherd. I've been in the Middle East and I've watched the shepherds there. I've been all over the Yorkshire Moors in England and in other places in England where a man will sit on a rock and maybe have 3,000 sheep and 4 or 5 dogs, and he directs all the sheep by using those dogs. Each dog has apparently his own whistle. Now, I couldn't determine the difference listening to one shepherd with whom I became a good friend, but I couldn't determine the difference between this whistle and that whistle, but the dogs did. Each dog knew exactly how to respond to this whistle. And so I was fascinated watching shepherds. There was a man in North Wales who spoke very little English, nearly all Welsh. And he had just a few sheep, not very many, about 40. And these were his income and this was his livelihood. And on the mountains in that part of Wales, it's very rugged and the feed is very sparse. And when he got his hay in and he taught me how to use a scythe, and I used to work alongside him, I didn't do as good a job, obviously, as he did, but the grass at its fullest was not quite 6 inches tall. And we were cutting that grass with a scythe and packing it for the winter. And I think of how our machines in this country pack the hay and get everything ready for winter. And we have masses and masses in abundance, more than we can imagine sometimes, of feed for our animals. But this man worked very hard with a very sparse income and a very sparse little flock of sheep. Just about 60 miles from where he lived, there is a place called Bethgelert. And I'd like to tell you this story because I believe it's true, though people have woven a lot of myth and fairy tale things into it for the last several years. But around the beginning of the 12th century, there was the Prince of North Wales. He was the Prince of all of North Wales. And he was quite an athletic man, a hunter. He rode his horse over the mountains and he had dogs. And he had one dog in particular that was a very dear friend of his. His name was Gellert. And so the man would go out and hunt, and on a particular day, the hunt was to start and the Gellert wasn't to be found. And for some reason, Gellert didn't turn up. And he whistled and he called and Gellert still stayed away. Blew his horn and Gellert did not come to him. And it was time for them to get going, so they went off with the other dogs hunting, leaving Gellert to look after the family and the little crofter's hut that was there in which they lived, and off they went. Now, the Welsh is an interesting language, and if you are an American traveling through Wales, you will want to see some of the favourite places and read about some of the stories of the past. Some are mystical, some are obviously tall tales, but others have an element of truth, if not are absolutely true. So years ago, 55 almost now ago, I married my wife who is Welsh, and she speaks Welsh and she understands Welsh. So I have a good gathering of bits and pieces of the Welsh language. And there is a small town in Wales that is called Bethgelert. You can say, if you want to, in English, Beth, B-E-T-H, but in Welsh it's B-E-D-D, Beth, Bethgelert. And it simply means the grave of Gellert. That's an interesting thing, that the hunter went out all day, and when he came back, there was his favourite dog, Gellert, looking at him and wagging his tail furiously and looking up at his master. But the horror was that the poor dog was covered in blood. And the man ran into the house and found the cradle tipped over, in which was his heir. And he came running out of the house and grabbed the dog, who affectionately still wagging his tail with his tongue hanging out, expecting some tidbit from the Prince of Wales. The prince took his sword and stabbed him through the heart and killed him, because he knew from the terrible mess in the room that with all the blood that was shed over the cradle and over the bedclothes, he knew that this dog had attacked and killed his son, and he was terribly upset. Then something happened. As the dog yelped, as the sword went into his body and he died, a cry responded from the bundle of clothes of the tipped-over cradle, and the Prince of Wales tore back into the house and tore hold of the bedding that was soaked in blood and found his child covered with these clothes and all the blood. And then beside the child was a dead but very large wolf. He lifted the child out. The child was unharmed. And he grabbed the child and then looked at his dear dog, his favourite dog, who was apparently only about 3 or 4 years old, and he sat and wept. He had killed his dear friend. Why do I tell the story? It's because this man was a shepherd, among other things, and he had lots of sheep. Now Jesus here says, I'm the door into the sheepfold. I'm a door to the sheep. And you may find, sometimes when you come to Christ, you may find that there is something that's not very fine, not very beautiful. But as you come into the presence of Jesus, you know you're in the right place. It's just that the circumstances seem to be contradicting the very fact of what the Bible says. And sometimes in those contradictions, we get caught up and we react instead of responding to the Word of God. And I want to share this with you carefully, because Jesus said, I am the door of the sheep. Now, if I want to have a full life, if I want to have what God wants me to have, which is peace and joy, Jesus said, I'm going to die, I'm going to go to heaven ahead of you, that your joy might be full. And he wants us to be filled with joy and have a peace that passeth all understanding and a peace that cannot fade away. Now, if your eyes are turned to the economy, if you're worried about your 401k, if you're concerned about all the things that have gone wrong in the last several months or couple of years, then you're not going to have peace and you're not going to have joy. It's rather like saying, oh, joy, the elephant is standing on my foot. Oh, more joy when he gets off my foot. That's kind of silly. But I would like to say to you with a great deal of love that Jesus said that I am the door of the sheep. Now, he then goes on and says, all that ever came before me are thieves and robbers. And I have already pointed out in a previous program that thieves and robbers are not the same thing at all. In fact, a thief and a robber are different. A thief comes with stealth, and a robber comes with violence. And people that rob are violent. It cannot be that they are without violence, because if discovered, their reactionary moment of discovery is that they fight, or they try to cover the grimness of their situation of robbery, and it turns very often into murder and other wretched things that happen to men. A thief comes with great stealth. He is seldom heard. He is seldom seen. He is seldom detected and discovered, because he comes very carefully. Now, Jesus says the people that have come before me have come very cunningly and very carefully, and you've not realized that they've been amongst you until they've gone and you've lost something of great worth. And then he adds that the others, the robbers, have come and with great violence have taken away from you the freedoms and the joy that you have in the Lord. So I say to all the saints that are loving the Lord Jesus, I am saying this: in this world we have no continuing city. So don't get upset about losing something in this world, but be careful that you don't lose the precious wonders of the presence of Jesus in your day-to-day life and in this wonderful sense of his great grace and his great love. Live for him, live in him. Don't let your eyes have a horizontal gaze, but make sure that your eyes have a vertical gaze. I would ask you to look at this word of God. In the 10th chapter of John's Gospel, Jesus says, I want you to understand sheep do not hear thieves and they do not hear robbers. And this is one reason why the church of our Lord Jesus has lost its vitality in many areas, because there are thieves and robbers that have taken us by storm and have lied and have misled and misdirected the scripture to our lives. And I want to say this to you. The Lord Jesus, in this wonderful verse 7 and 8, tells us that the sheep did not hear them. Lots and lots of people are going to church, but they haven't heard the story of Jesus. They know about Jesus, they have read stories about Jesus, but they don't know Jesus the Christ, the Son of the living God, in their hearts. And such a church is always damaged because the violence is there and the stealth is there. You can discover it when your board is meeting secretly. You discover it when someone on a board or a committee gets belligerent and starts throwing his or her weight around, demanding that everybody succumb to their wonderful effort of thinking something through. And when that happens, we find ourselves in a pickle. The thief is at the gate. The robber is in the house of God. And the violence of Satan and the stealth of Satan has somehow worked its way and inveigled its way into the hearts of people that say they love the Lord Jesus. Well, having done all that, listen to how Jesus describes this. He says, look here, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. Then he contrasts himself with that thief. And he says, but I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. So if you're being robbed of the things of God that come from the Word of God, there is a thief trying to manipulate you into believing that he is something or she is something that they are not. And you find yourself now faced with the contrast. And I beg you, throw yourself upon Jesus, that the things of this earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. I am come that they might have life. If there is no life, there is no Spirit of God, for life is in the blood, and the Spirit of God teaches us how to allow the blood of Jesus to wash us white as snow. And when we know that, we have a new life, and we are filled with an abundant life. In verse 11, Jesus goes on and says, I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Now, the thief will not die for you. The robber will not die for you. The thief comes to steal from you, and the robber comes with violence take from you. These two things. And understand, if the very Spirit of God is sort of being sucked out of your life, then there is something drastically wrong, and you need to look again and ask the Lord Jesus, where are you? And turn your life back towards him and away from the discontent that you're now experiencing in your experience. The Lord Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. In Greek, it says, I am the shepherd, the good. So there's two definite articles there, and Jesus is pronouncing this, I am the shepherd. There's no other shepherd that will guide you as I will. There's no other shepherd that will look after you as I will. And I am the good. And so in English, of course, we have to make it simpler. But what was a noun turns into an adjective, and we say that Jesus is the good shepherd, describing the shepherd as being good. But Jesus didn't really say that. He said, I am the shepherd, the good. You could say Jesus is the good just as easily as you could say Jesus is the shepherd. And when you look at that verse 11, you hear Jesus saying, the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. The shepherd that is good and filled with goodness. Now, the word good, it's a great word, is G-O-O-D. And in all of our languages, Satan has sought to move Jesus and God the Father and God the Holy Spirit out of our vocabularies. And so we have good and evil. We do not have God and the devil. Let me explain that. If you take the D out of devil, you have evil. So it's easy to talk about a nondescript evil. And if you take an O and place it in the word God, you have good, and so you dilute what and who God is. God is almighty. God is the creator of the ends of the earth. He has formulated a plan to bring us to him with love. Before the foundation of the world, he knew you, and he called you, and he called you by name, which we'll come to in a moment. But when he calls us by name, he calls us out of the tumult of this wide, wild life's restless sea. And it is restless. We're in the midst of a terribly restless economy. We're in the midst of terrible restless lawlessness. And we seem to think it's okay, and someone will solve it for us, whether you believe the government will, or the local constabulary will, or just the goodness of the people around you will. I don't know the answer, but I do know that if you put your faith and belief in the Lord Jesus Christ, you will not be let down, and his system, if that's a good word, will never let you down and never fail. His system never fails. When you understand that, you will understand that Jesus goes on in verse 12 and says, he that is a hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep, and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them, and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth, because he is a hireling, and careth not for the sheep. Now, this is what goes on continually all over our society. We have good people trying to do good things. They get frosted for some reason or another. They turn their back on the people that they were trying and seeking to help and move away. Politics get in the way of the goodness of the things of the Lord. For instance, hospitals started with Christians looking after the wounded and the sick and bedraggled of this world. But somehow we have allowed other people to take over, open clinics, and the church is not there. Oh, there are a few names that indicate that these hospitals belong somewhere to some sort, some part of Christianity. There is the Baptist hospital. There is the Methodist hospital. and there is the Catholic hospital, and so on we go. So religion is recognized, but faith in Jesus Christ is not. One of the most joyous conversations I had waiting for surgery some time back in my life was with some people that came in. They had permission from the hospital, and they talked about the Lord Jesus with every patient who that day was going down for surgery. And they eventually came to me, and I was able to engage them in a conversation that glorified the Lord Jesus, and we talked about the Lord Jesus and his presence and his grace and his love. And they were so thrilled to find someone who believed that he was in the hands of Jesus before the surgery, and the surgery was in the hands of Jesus, though the surgeon was going to be the tool that God would use. Now, there is great comfort in Jesus. But look, when Jesus says, the hireling fleeth, he runs away. And we find in many ways our society is separating. And we find in many ways our society is going to look after all these needs that we have that are physical, all these needs that we have that are detrimental to our health, and they're somehow going to use some magic or some political discussion, and they're going to make it all better. It will not happen like that at all. But money is the object, and the love of money is the root of all evil. Not money is the root of all evil, but the love of money. And people love money. And so the evil one, or the devil, is promoting all sorts of things that money becomes the demigod that we look toward. And so our bills from the hospital stay, from the visits to the doctors and so on and on, get larger and larger, and we become steadily more poverty-stricken as a result of needing all this help. Well, Jesus then goes on to contrast himself with these hirelings, and he says, I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. It's important that you understand that you do know Jesus, and you do know God the Father. The Holy Spirit has been talking to you maybe for years, and you do know not just about him, you know his intervention in your life. I've had many people say to me, this happened, that happened, and, you know, someone up there was looking after me. The man upstairs was looking after me. The man in the clouds was looking after me. This is an expression that we use saying that God is looking after me. Will you notice, please, that the Lord Jesus said, I. The word I, he is talking of himself. He is saying, I will look after the sheep. I will be known of mine, as the Father knows me. Even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Now Jesus is expanding his involvement with sheep, and he is saying, God and I are one. I am God incarnate upon this earth. I am God in exhibition. I am the picture of God working amongst sinful men and women, and I am the shepherd that will gather up and guide, lead, direct, and hold the sheep. You will find, as you look at this piece of scripture of the 10th chapter of John's Gospel, you will see how Jesus says in verse 15, I lay down my life for the sheep. Now, this is a terrific thing that Jesus was prepared to do. For this cause he came into the world, standing in front of Pilate, having been beaten up and whipped. Jesus said, when Pilate said to him, why don't you talk back to me, because I have the power to destroy you on the cross or to let you go. And Jesus said, you have no power at all unless the Father gives you that power, talking of God the Father. But he said, for this cause came I into the world, for this reason I am in the world, and I'm going to die for my sheep. The death of Jesus gives us life. He died, we live. When we put our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, we have this abundant life, and there is no need for us to succumb and allow the world to overwhelm us and allow the circumstances to drown us. There is no need for us to give up and say, oh dear, there's no point in life. Dear friend, if you're in that particular position right now, I beg you, think again. Jesus gives you abundant life, life that is bigger than the normal life that people live in this world. We have abundant life and we are free in the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, I have to stop there, but I'll go on and we'll talk about the rest of this story, if I may, in our next broadcast. But just now, I would ask you, pray with me, will you? Lord Jesus Christ, we ask that we may take a hold of this fact that you are the shepherd of the sheep and we are the sheep. We need help. We need you to touch us. We need you to help us. We need you to lift us up. We need you to set our feet upon the solid ground and not allow us to walk in the sinking ground. And we ask that you will hold us tightly to yourself and keep us in the peace that is beyond our ability to grasp mentally. Give us the peace of God that passes all understanding, and that the joy of the Lord may flood our souls, and the peace of God just cause us to live a quiet and peaceable life with you. Now, Lord, we ask that you will be with everybody who is listening to this, and that you will bless them all and draw them close to you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, thanks for listening. God bless you. Bye-bye.